The FAA pulls the tickets of those two distracted Northwest pilots. Sully's back in the cockpit and says he's had to learn a new technique. And Southwest is aggressively equipping for RNP. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 28th, 2009. No big surprise here. The FAA has announced an emergency action effective immediately, revoking the certificates of two Northwest Airlines pilots who overflew their destination airport October 21st while operating Flight 188 from San Diego to Minneapolis. Captain Tim Cheney and First Officer Richard Cole were out of contact with air traffic control for what's reported to be well over an hour and told NTSB investigators that they were distracted by a conversation they were having about company scheduling policy and were using their personal laptop computers on the flight deck. The FAA says they violated federal aviation regulations, including failing to comply with air traffic control instructions and clearances and operating carelessly and recklessly. They have 10 days to appeal, but their certificates may be moot point. Delta, the new owner of Northwest, tells ABC News that using laptops or engaging in activity unrelated to the pilot's command of the aircraft during flight is against airline policy, quote, and violations of that policy will result in termination, unquote. ABC has posed the question of just how often this happens. Industry experts say increased use of automation makes some pilots lose their edge. And you just know, UAS proponents are thinking that if this flight had been operated with no human pilots at all, this wouldn't even have happened. On the other extreme of the professionalism spectrum, U.S. Airways Captain Chesley Sullenberger appeared on The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien Monday night to promote his new book. He told the host that since he returned to flying for the airline a few weeks ago, he's had to learn a new tactic. It seems that when his voice comes on the PA system welcoming passengers to the flight, he has to pause for a few seconds after saying his name. O'Brien remarked, quote, "That's called holding for applause," unquote. Sully also said that for his first flight back after returning to duty, he requested and was assigned the same crew as was on board the famous Hudson River ditching of Flight 1549 back in January, and that there were even four passengers from the ditched flight who bought tickets to be on Sully's first flight back. Sully's book is titled Highest Duty, My Search for What Really Matters. It's been on sale in hardcover since October 13th. Southwest Airlines has announced that due to a $175 million upgrade initiative, about two-thirds of its aircraft are now equipped and ready for RNP, required navigation performance, and it expects all its pilots to be through training for RNP by the end of 2010. Aviation Week reports that means even though a third of its planes lack the equipment, Southwest has enough 737s with the equipment to put one on any route where its use is available. And the airline says it will do just that on any route where an RNP approach offers a savings in fuel or access to a previously unavailable runway. The FAA wants to have RNP fully implemented for airlines by 2013. Earlier testing by Southwest suggests the technology could save 6% on fuel burn per flight, or 91 million fewer gallons of fuel burned each year, and 2 billion pounds less CO2 emitted. Up next on ANN, NASA will try again this morning with Ares 1X. Aspen Avionics celebrates its first helicopter installation. And the KCX contract competition is getting even more political, if that's possible. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 28th. I'm Paul Platt. As of our deadline, NASA still hoped to get the Ares 1X test launch off the pad at KSC this morning between 8 a.m. and noon. Yesterday's launch was scrubbed for weather. Live coverage on NASA.gov was scheduled to start this morning at 5 a.m. Eastern Time. Aspen Avionics has noted many milestones recently, but here's a biggie. The first installation of the company's Evolution flight display system in a helicopter, a Bell OH-58, operated by the Dale County Sheriff in Ozark, Alabama. Tim McDonald, Chief Deputy and Chief Pilot for Dale County Sheriffs, says the new panel, quote, has by far surpassed any expectations I had for pilot situational awareness in the cockpit. The Aspen provides the most concise, compact, and easily readable system that I've come across. The system was very easy to install. Very little, if any, modification was required, unquote. Aspen's claim to fame is its form factor, which allows replacement of any vertically stacked pair of standard steam gauges with a single glass display, greatly increasing capability with a physically uncomplicated retrofit. The mired contract bidding process for a new U.S. Air Force tanker just got more political. The KCX tanker war has already seen considerations of benefits to the warfighter overshadowed by politicians jockeying to be seen as bringing home jobs for either the Pacific Northwest, where Boeing would build its candidate, or Mobile, Alabama, where Northrop Grumman says it would do the work required to turn an Airbus into a tanker. Now, three Republican governors, Bob Riley of Alabama, Haley Barbour of Mississippi, and Bobby Jindal of Louisiana, have announced the launch of the Aerospace Alliance, a 501c6 private-public organization charged with establishing the Gulf Coast and surrounding region as a world-class aerospace, space, and aviation corridor. Riley commented, quote, "We will work together to advocate for policies, programs, and specific aerospace projects on the local, state, and national level. Our first initiative is to win the KC-45 tanker. Our first lesson is geography. Mobile, Alabama, and the Gulf Coast states are part of the U.S., and our jobs are American," unquote. He's alluding to the frequent talking point in Boeing propaganda that points out that the Airbus would first be built in Europe, then ferried to Alabama for conversion and finishing, meaning fewer American jobs would result should Northrop win the bid. By law, job creation in the U.S. cannot be an issue considered by the Pentagon and the Air Force in picking a vendor. In the real world, federal lawmakers fund the Pentagon and the Air Force. Stay tuned. Still ahead, doctors don't do this with their Beechcrafts every day. The market for light military helicopters is looking up, and semantics take on a new importance during a recession. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 28th. I'm Paul Plack. Bahamas Habitat has announced the donation of a Beechcraft Baron to the organization by Dr. John Quinn of Charleston, South Carolina. The upgraded 1960 piston twin is capable of 200 knots and will be used by the organization in its Bahamas mission work. Dr. Quinn is a practicing pediatrician. He and his family have made numerous trips to the Bahamas over the years, and he's aware of the needs in the Bahamas and the value of the mission. Quote, "I'd considered donating my aircraft to a good cause and realized that the best fit for my Baron would be in a region of the world where a twin would be valued and where access to avgas would not be an issue. Bahamas Habitat was the ideal choice," unquote. John Armstrong, president of Bahamas Habitat, says the Baron is an ideal tool. Quote, "We are extremely grateful to Dr. Quinn and look forward to his continued involvement in the work of the ministry and what God has in store," unquote. L3 Link Simulation and Training has been awarded a one-year, $14.4 million contract option from the U.S. Air Force to provide continued support of the service's E3 Contractor Training and Simulation Services Program. L3 Link has been the prime contractor on the program since 1993 and is providing training under a contract initially awarded in 1999. Annual contract options could extend the flight crew training deal through 2014. E3 flight crews are trained at an L3 Link facility adjacent to Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma. It's always nice to be able to bring you news of bright spots in the aviation economy. Forecast International has not only found one, but is willing to name the companies which will be the biggest winners. FI is out with a new study called The Market for Light Military Rotorcraft. It projects a total of 2,026 rotorcraft in this market segment will be produced during the 2009 to 2018 time period, with a total value in 2009 dollars of 20.8 billion U.S. FI credits the growth to an influx of new light helicopter models and continuing acquisition by U.S. Armed Forces a significant numbers of light helicopters. Bell is building AH-1Z attack helicopters and UH-1Y transports for the Marines, while Eurocopter is producing UH-72A models for the Army. Also, the Army's Armed Aerial Scout Program is expected to involve the acquisition of more than 500 helicopters to replace OH-58D Kiowa Warriors. FI predicts that Eurocopter will be in the best position to capitalize on the trend, with Bell, Hindustan Aeronautics, and Augusta Westland capturing the next three spots. And finally today, what's in a name? If the economic recession finds you on the reemployment incentive program, and you enlist the aid of someone to help you choose a future direction, apparently what you call that person matters. Or so says recruiter Tim Sackett in his blog post last Friday on fistfuloftalent.com. He says that if you let on to prospective employers that you have a life coach, quote, "What I really hear is I can't take care of small things that pop up in everyday normal life, so now I have an unqualified person shaping my future," unquote. Sackett says the term business coach is much more positive. In a related story, experts say the recession has left some of us with way too much time to think. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Forbes magazine publisher Rich Karlgaard's opening day comments from NBAA 2009, with bad news and good news for aviation. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.